I want to welcome everybody for being here, and thank you for coming.
Sure.
It's vacation time.
I can't do that, so I can send it to you.
Please remember to turn off your cell phones or put them on mute during the meeting. I just did mine, so it's kind of annoying when that goes off. And don't do it during a supervisor's meeting, you'll really get in trouble. So anyway, welcome to everybody. Approval of the summary of proceedings, we're going to, oh, you know what? Roll call, sorry.
Oh, that's me. Commissioner Sinapa?
Here.
Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Anderson?
She's excused in Las Vegas.
Okay, Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Taggart?
Here.
Supervisor Prez?
Not sure who she is.
Where are you?
I don't know where she is. Okay. Anyway, welcome, everybody. Approval of the summary proceedings from last month. I looked at them. I don't get a vote, but I need to see if there's...
I make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, no? Thank you. That was quick. Good.
There's a quick meeting last.
Okay. On the consent agenda, we've got exactly none. So that makes that easy. Does everybody have a copy of the agenda here? I mean, everybody? Okay. On the public presentations, we're going to move that back because Cassandra from Petco is going to be here, but she's running late because she got off work late, and she wanted to talk about an event they had at her store on Saturday, and she was very pleased at how it went down. So I want to give her a chance to talk about that. So we're going to move the public presentations after all the staff announcements. So, Director Cullen, I guess you're up for the monthly report, please. I can see him. Hi, Amber.
Hey.
Can't see Sally back there, but...
I can't see Liz.
Good evening, Colin. Kern County Animal Services. The director reported just over a few highlights. 192 animals were placed through rescue organizations in the month of July. Our foster program. So 172 animals in foster care at the time that this was printed, or at the time that we looked into this, was 266 total animals in care and foster care. At least one of us in this room has one of those. Perhaps more. Our TNR program, 8,818 cats fixed to date. We had a very successful Taft clinic at Ford City. You'll see those statistics there, 204 rabies vaccinations, 209 DHPV vaccinations, 217 licenses total sold. That's what we consider a successful clinic for TAP. 504 private party adoptions were processed in the month of July. So far to date, over 2,900 animals are found there, forever homes through adoption. 10 cats adopted from Petco stores locally. I think at least 9 out of 10 were done at Gosford, if not 10 out of 10. Did we not do the Vince Farm event in July?
That was August. It was the first week of August.
July, we did have our 4 Days for Freedom. That was an event where we, again, just trying to look at different ways to attack the 4th of July issue with dogs showing up missing and wasn't sheltered. We kind of did 3 things. We had a e-wave adoption event in advance to clear room for the for the incoming dogs. We had e-wave redemptions for 4 days after the holiday. There was another piece to it, too. I don't remember what it was.
Microchipping.
Yeah, free microchipping for 10 days before the event. So we made an effort to see, you know, if that had any effect, any impact. The statistics showed that it was basically about the same intake and redemption that we saw the year before. So it didn't appear to have much of an effect. The adoptions were successful, but the amount of animals that were coming in during and after the 4th of July holiday and the only returns because of extra didn't increase enough to say one way or another whether it would help. But it was well received by the public. Our volunteer program, 3,030 total hours were donated in July, equals out to about 18 staff members. Field services, 1,265 total calls for service were handled in July. 7 dogs returned to their owners in the field. 60 were secured on property by officers in the month of July. And with that, I can answer any questions. If you do, I will point out, if you do look at the last sheet, the euthanasia outcomes, our euthanasia is up 4.8% this year over last year. You know, that we are seeing a lot of TY kittens, more so than in years past. You know, our large breed dogs continue to be an issue with us finding placement for them. So, I mean, 4.8% isn't enough to say what the exact reason is, but I know that there's a slight increase in the amount of underage kittens that are being euthanized and a slight increase in the amount of large breed dogs that are being euthanized. But still, overall, less animals are coming to the shelter.
Sure. Okay, we'll take questions from the commissioners first before we open it up.
Hart Park, how's that going with the cats?
We're at a standstill. Recently, I had one of the volunteers at the Cat People. She reached out, and just because where our TNR program is right now, it's pretty restrictive to the public. We only do surgeries 3 days a week, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. The cats have to be dropped off at a particular time. They have to be picked up that same day. So it's tough if you're trying to trap, especially like something like Hart Park. So one of the volunteers had reached out to us and asked if they could take those animals that they trap directly to Critters. I had always been a little bit hesitant because I thought it's a problem with the amount of cats at Hart Park. The last thing I wanted to do was have those volunteers trap them, transport them to Critters, and then put them back out in the park. But, you know, there's still an amount of animals that is tough to get a grasp on how many are being reintroduced to the park unaltered. So, I mean, when we start thinking about that, and we're thinking those numbers just keep going up because the cats are breeding, because people are dropping cats off there, that I couldn't really say no. I mean, I'd rather have altered cats out there than unaltered cats out there. So, you know, other than that, I know that we were working with the county communications department to develop a PSA. I saw the PSA. I haven't seen it since then. So as far as I know, that was still the plan. They're still making upgrades at Hart Park. And the cat people are still attacking the problem from their end.
All right, thank you.
Anything else? Okay. A lot of good things to talk about on questions that I typically talk about. The adoptions, I mean, it's fewer than last year, but still 1,009 cats. This is year-to-date data, by the way. You line up 1,009 cats, that's a lot of cats. Or, better yet, 1,779 dogs. That's a lot of work to do all that. So I commend the department for all that, all the paperwork, all the things they have to do, the chip and the neutering and everything else they've got to do to get them ready to be adopted. So that's phenomenal. On the rescue, 1,052 dogs. Return to owner is always a soft spot in my heart. I'm glad to see that's steady and stronger than last year. On the other things, you know, this is the downside of having year-to-date information. If you have one bad month, you're just screwed up. You know, it affects you the rest of the year. I don't really know, like the euthanasia, you know, it's higher than last year at this time, but I don't know what month that occurred in. So, and it was my idea to go year-to-date, so, because I want to see a real trend. So, euthanasia is up on cats, almost 10%, and dogs, about 5%. Can you, one thing that's left out is the, and I know it's vacation time, but on the volunteers, I'm just right here, but can you talk about it, volunteer hours, or, I didn't see it in here.
Yes,
sir.
Is it on here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I had said it was about.
Oh, there it is, okay. 3,030, okay. That's phenomenal, especially, you know, in a summer month. That's excellent. So, good job to Jeff and everybody that's involved. On the, you know, you kind of took the words out of my mouth on the euthanasia comparisons on the very back page of this report. If you guys don't ever study it, I look at it every month. And of course, you know, the most heartbreaking is the one that's too young. So I'm pleased to see the fostering. I mean, I was amazed that you have 172 animals that entered the foster care in July. out of 266. Can you tell the group a little bit about that process? Why so many in July? What happened?
What, I'm sorry, what was the question?
172 animals entered the foster program.
And why is there so many?
I mean, I think it's great, but how did you do it? What happened? That's 65% of the total just went in the care last month.
So how we got foster parents?
How did you do so many?
We have foster families, and they say, I can foster.
You signed up for
them. We say we have a litter, and they come in and pick them up, take them home and care for them. We try to promote the foster program on social media, and any chance I get on the news. Same thing as always, you know, that number of 172 animals entering foster care, it's not all that high in comparison to other months.
Right.
During the busy part of the season. So. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just
it may not be, but it's all I have to go by. So, and it's 65% of the total. So I thought that's pretty...
Yeah, and remember, cats graduate.
They do.
All the time.
They do.
That 172 is usually pretty consistent, but, you know, obviously there's 80 or 90 cats that are graduating. The notes go out to usually Petco. Now, nothing's being done differently.
Okay, they get them ready. Okay. Okay. I guess that was... I think it's all the questions I have, so any questions from the first row?
Does the Commissioner Taggart have any questions?
Oh, no, I already asked them.
I do. Okay. Being in the rescue, on the rescue end of it, I have noticed, you know, it's very disheartening for me to see that the rescue partners have significantly decreased. And I know that we were almost up to 500 at one time, and now we're down to 192 animals just for the month of July. And I know that there's still a lot of them that are really hesitant because of the whole distemper outbreak that we had. And so now they're doing the requiring, if we do pull any that go up to other rescues, we have to do a 14-day incubation period just to make sure everything's all good and that kind of stuff. And is it 14?
Oh, no, I have dogs that are for 6 weeks.
Well, yeah, but that's a different
situation. Excuse me. Can you state your name for the record?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
You may want to stand up, because with these chair backs, I don't think everybody can hear what you're saying. If you want to talk from the seat, why don't everybody stand up? I think, let's just do that, okay?
Okay.
Let everybody hear you.
Okay. Sundy Martineau. So, I just wanted to know if there was something that maybe you have planned or some way to kind of, I can't even reestablish those relationships. Like, we have had a significant drop out of rescue, so we'll take county dogs anymore. And it is putting a lot of pressure on us because we're trying really hard to help. You know, my little rescue, we're not, you know, huge or whatever. We did pull a little puppy recently, and we had to take him in, so we got him, you know, on watch as far as, you know, what's going on. I did pull another one it was kind of a last-minute pull. She had kennel cough, and I sent her up to Washington, and she actually had distemper, so that was kind of like, oh gosh darn it. And she didn't make it, so she had to be put down by her doctor. For me, you know, being here is not a big deal, but it is significantly, I mean, without rescues pulling, and I'm going to say, I mean, I know that, you know, you like to focus on all positive stuff, but we have an increase in euthanasia and a decrease in rescue. And I think that is directly related. I think we really have to focus on that and try to do something. It has to be acknowledged that that really is a big thing. And I was like, why haven't rescues been able to pull as many dogs? We've all focused on Bakersfield City now. And because of that lack, I mean, you can see that's a direct hit to the number of euthanasia as well. That is a big deal.
So, Sonny, what was the question?
Do you think there's anything that we can do? I mean, do you have rescues that, you know, is there anything that I can do to make it better?
So keep in mind, we, for about 6 years now, we've averaged somewhere between 2,200 and 2,400 animals that go to nonprofit rescue. Mm-hmm. 192 extrapolated over 12 months is approximately 2,400 rescues a year. So we haven't seen a decline in the overall amount of animals that are leaving to rescue organizations. It stayed constant for a very long time now. Mm-hmm. And we're on pace this year to do the same. If I was to identify with that problem, is we will typically see new rescues come on board every year or every 2 years. We haven't seen so many new rescues coming on board. That might be indicative of a hesitancy to pull from current. But overall rescue numbers haven't declined. I know from our perspective, when we send dogs or cats to rescue, they have the same questions, you know, as far as vaccination and health is concerned, but they're not holding us or requiring us to keep them for 14 days like they might be.
Yeah, they are with us.
Yeah, I don't really have the answer.
There have actually been quite a handful of rescues, like Milo, Mini Miles Home, Cheryl Rescue, Rompin Paws. I can't remember the other one. I mean, there's a significant amount that as soon as we say that they're from the county, they want to move it. And then if they will, it's like, well, we already pulled the dog, and then, you know, it has to be, you know, watched for a number of days before it will be transferred back.
My only thought is if you would like to contact these rescues that are telling you they're hesitant or resistant to pull from Trent County.
And if they have to refuse from us.
If they are willing, give them my information. I'd be happy to have a conversation with our practices, our procedures, our processes, what we were doing for the community, to try and maybe calm some of those concerns. Or if they would be willing, you can forward me their information, and I will reach out to them to see what the issues are.
Okay. So, but you don't think that it's a direct, as far as the number of dogs that are being used, as far as it, you know, and I know it's dogs and cats, but for me, my thing is the dogs, because I'm a dog rescue. So looking at those euthanasia rates, they are increased. You don't think that has anything to do with reduction in rescue partners?
I don't know that we... Well, there's no reduction in overall rescue numbers. What I was saying is typically we'll see new rescues come on at a regular rate. We haven't seen that this year, in my opinion. I don't think that has anything to do with distemper. You know, if there are organizations like that you're dealing with that are resistant from pulling from Kern, we certainly don't believe it's because of the Kern County Animal Shelter.
No, it's Kern County Animal Shelter distemper. That's
so.
Exactly.
So, are these organizations saying that the Kern County shelter is the only shelter in all of Kern County that has distemper in it?
No. I think what she said, what Sunny said, because I run into the same thing.
Yeah,
and
it happens
we
all
work
the time.
For, we work,
but they are saying only.
When I've asked people to want to work for rescue, and it's they won't pick a county dog because of the distemper issue, while all that happened, they just flat out will not take a dog from the county shelter. I don't know if how city is or how they necessarily handle everything, but the minute you mention it's from the county, that's the response we get, and it's really affected. And I know it's really
with
affected
that.
Us not being able to get some dogs off quicker.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So I think the big question is, how do we repair that relationship? So they're able to... So
how do
say,
you repair
whoever,
your relationship?
Whoever.
Your
relationship,
I can't answer that question.
My relationship, not destroyed with them. My concern is, as Sunny is saying, is the minute you mention this dog was at county, oh no.
Yeah.
It might, because the past dogs have been sent and have got sick and they've either died and been put down. Because of that.
It's not because county...
So they're leery.
Sure.
Yeah. It's not because county has experienced distemper. All shelters experience it. But your shelter doesn't immediately euthanize those dogs. So, like, say, a city dog, if it comes in and they think it has distemper, that dog's not making it out of the shelter and it's not being introduced to anything. So the cycle of trying to save them and that big run of it spreading really turned those people off. So it's not because you have distemper in your shelter, because everyone does. It's the fact that you were trying to save those dogs and it spread to rescues up north, and it spread beyond them because it went up there.
Or
that people are...
So I honestly don't know how to answer the question, because I am not experiencing the same problem that you are.
Right.
I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I don't have an answer for you. I don't know how to help you repair that relationship. The only thing I can offer you is that it sounds like these organizations probably have a false belief of what's happening in Kern County, or that there's some contributing factor that we are emanating and that it's a different problem than it really is. We have not seen in the shelter a dog with distemper in about 2 months. So
when was the last time? Yeah, no, let's see, Helen went up
It's been 2 months, actually, but she went up. And then the puppy we just pulled, he's on watch for it last week.
I mean, just that dog that she sent up that got sick, about the Humane Society up there,
oh, yeah,
doesn't even want to talk to City because that dog came from our area.
Sure. And if I was Emma, I would probably practice the same.
So I think maybe it's just more of an awareness, you know, that we do have an issue, and this is something that on the rescue side of it, that we are facing these things. And, you know, with different organizations, they can, you know, fine if they don't want to pull a dog, but I do see and I do know that you guys are struggling even more because, you know, the rescue side of it, transporting as many dogs out as we do and that kind of stuff is extremely important. That's at least getting dog out of the shelter so you guys are handling what they're coming in. If we have that, you know, and I'm not saying that we should run over and kill all the dogs. This is a situation that I think needs to be acknowledged.
I acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm. So do I.
Okay.
But at the same time, are we not acknowledging that we are doing something about it? In other words, there are cleaning procedures, isolation procedures, and all of that. Mm-hmm. Is that word getting out to these folks? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We have tried to get them to,
so
but what happens is still dogs coming out.
If you're an organization that shelters animals, and you're in an area that is not as
prone,
arid,
right,
and has such warm, lengthy summers as we do, especially up north and down south, you don't see distemper very often.
Right.
They didn't
if you're pulling dogs from an area that is endemic, that is distemper endemic, the area, not an entity, yes, you would. I would be disinclined to pull an animal from that area as well. So what can we do to make organizations feel more comfortable pulling animals from an endemic, a distemper endemic area? I don't have the answer to that question other than to increase the herd immunity in Kern County so that the disease is less prevalent.
Yeah.
Which that's something we've been doing for 2 years now. I don't know how to make it happen any faster or any more than we already are.
But to communicate these efforts to the people you deal with, mm-hmm, and some people are just going to shut down.
Yeah, and we've had quite a few of them.
We don't
want to
hear
stopped.
About it.
Yeah, but because they got distempered.
Others, but that was a particular point in time, Michelle.
No, I understand. I was just telling her.
That if they are willing to look at what is going on now, not what went on 2 months ago or 3 years ago or whatever. And I think the other thing probably is, at least when I started here, there were a few rescues. Some of the rescues that used to exist don't exist anymore, at least not locally. So it's kind of like the foster cats. There is a cyclical, not cyclical, but there are rescues that go and then rescues that come. There are foster cats that get adopted out and then go into. So that's another piece, I think.
These are actually very up and running rescues. You know, it's
long-standing.
And they're pulling from City is what's happening. So they're still pulling dogs.
My offer is to give them my email, phone, name, and I will speak to these organizations to try to answer some of their questions or address some of their concerns. They might like to hear that we've been working with the University of Wisconsin's Shelter Medicine Program for a year and a half.
Yeah,
and they might want to hear that we haven't seen a clinically diagnosed case of distemper in the shelter for about 2 months. They might want to hear those things. And if they're not willing to hear those things,
right,
then I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what I like. I like having a director that has the door is open all the time. He's not running from anybody. He'll talk to anybody that calls him. I like that about him.
Yeah.
So, Dan, you got a question? Right?
Sort of, but I think Nick kind of answered or addressed me. All I was going to say, speaking, I don't know, as a guy that's involved in both areas, I think the proper way to frame this is, because of things that have happened in the past, there is a perception, I'm not saying a reality, I'm saying there's a perception that when it comes to the distemper situation, that there's this perception that is more prevalent in the county shelter. Because of that perception, there are some rescues that would be willing to help or have helped in the past or are now reluctant. So I think that the question or maybe the suggestion is that if there was some way to educate and promote what's being done at the shelter that's been done in the past to prevent things, any epidemics from spreading again, and to publicize, things that are going on and the success the shelter has had in eliminating this issue, I think that the belief is that
it will never be eliminated.
What?
Yeah.
I said, let me just correct you. It will never be eliminated.
So, but if rescues from outside of Kern County or within Kern County could be reassured that the risk is minimal of them taking on a dog that's been exposed to distemper, that maybe that they would be more willing to have a relationship and therefore more people would be pulling and maybe therefore it would benefit the euthanasia.
And I think what you just said, like you said, similar to what I was saying, is that first off, I don't know who these organizations are.
Maybe we can work on that, Danny.
Sure.
No, I'm serious. I'm being very serious.
But I will also tell you that under no circumstances will I talk to somebody and say, it's all safe. You're free to be, you'd be assured. No, this is an endemic area. Mm-hmm. It's parvo and distemper endemic. It will never go away. The climate, the culture, the community allows it. And it will always be here. So if you pull an animal from Kern County or from the city of Bakersfield or from Arvin or from Delano or McFarland or Shafter or Taft, you're running the risk of pulling an animal that has distemper far and away more than any other temperate area. It's just one of those, it's something that we deal with all the time, we always will. But if somebody wants to talk to me to get real world statistics, really what we've done to address the problem, what we're seeing in the shelter, what our rescue partners are seeing in the shelter, offer me some suggestions. If somebody wants to have a conversation, I'm absolutely willing to do that. I just don't know who they are, and you're welcome to give them all of my information. You can send them to my office, for goodness sake, and I'll have that conversation. But if they're not willing, there's not much we can do.
Maybe just some education on their end, like offering some kind of education as to what are the signs if you do pull a dog from here so they can catch it earlier rather than, I don't know how long, maybe they were wondering for a week or so what this was and then it ended up being fatal. But
in the case of Helen, she was a German Shepherd, and it's just that it disguises itself like kennel cough,
yeah.
And that's the hardest part, is that, you know, and I was like, okay, and I put her on transport with 12 other dogs, and I mean, that was high risk. She could have gotten everybody on there, you know, sick.
Right.
Thankfully, it didn't happen. But what the hardest part about this is that an adopter who fell in love with her and thought she was getting a dog got a sick dog and had to put her down finally a few weeks later, and it was a very traumatic experience for everybody all the way around. And the problem is, too, that she called up Kitsap to help, you know, put the dog down, which is the Humane Society. And then they went on high alert, and then they called the city shelter to, you know, to tattle, because they didn't know that it came from the county. And it was just a big mess. It was a big mess.
Any other questions?
Okay.
Hold on. Michelle, do you have anything?
My name's Holly Moore.
And your name?
Holly. So the animals that are euthanized, what happens to those remains?
At the county shelters?
Yeah.
There's an organization that comes in and picks them up and takes them to a rendering factory.
Is it different if they're distemper dogs?
Is it different?
Yeah, like are they, like once they're they go far, far away from... I don't even know where on the property they're at, so I didn't know if there was a different disposal thing.
It's just
dead.
They all were dead.
Okay.
Yes.
She's in contamination.
Okay. Control finish, right? Okay. Second row, Liz. Stand up, please.
Kitty.
Stand up on top of the cherry.
Liz Keough, proud resident of the 5th Supervisorial District. Represented on the commission by Commissioner Sanapa. Getting back to what you said, Commissioner Blackburn, years ago we did do the month-by-month statistics.
Yeah.
Is there any way to revert, put another column so that we have this month's stats and then the year-to-date stats and then the comparison for year-to-date with the prior year, because you're absolutely right. Statistically, you have the, I forget the effect, but, you know, it keeps rolling over. And you, so in November, you're looking at something that actually happened in February.
That's right. And you don't know where it
just
happened.
Keeps going. So that is one thing, because we did it before, and then we wanted to go to the annual. So, you know, but there might be a compromise. The other question I had, in looking at the vaccination clinic data, do you have any explanation for why at Ford City there were 20 microchips, on the 10th there were 13, on the 17th there were 12, on the 6th, on the 31st there were 6, and on July 3rd there were 60 microchips implanted? That's an enormous number compared to...
They were free. That was for the 4th of July.
That's part of the 4th of July.
Oh, okay. Okay. Does that give us any idea about how to get animals microchipped, maybe?
More
about offering them for free? I mean, I'm sure people would come and get them, but it also costs money to buy the microchips in the first place.
Okay.
So if you remember also... I don't know, we're taking up too much time here. We did free microchipping for about a good year and a half, 2 years, but we never saw any verifiable increase in the amount of animals ever reunited. So it didn't. The intent was to get more animals back home by offering free microchipping. It just didn't pan out.
We did a big media push too with that 4 days for freedom. So
yeah, we did quite a bit of media. I mean, that's just an explains why there were so many.
Okay,
but to answer your first question, you asked too.
Yes, I did.
You also asked if it was possible to have a report to show both month to month and year to date. Yes, it's a little bit more complicated than just saying yes. But the easiest thing to do, if the commission were to want that, is probably to print two reports,
like
one that has year to date and then one that has.
I mean, we used to have, you know, month over month, and I couldn't really see a trend for the year. And then I asked for year to date totals.
I recall.
And then if there's an anomaly, we don't know where it happened. And so this is right. I mean, we want to eat our cake and have it too, right?
In some ways, yeah.
Can we do both?
Like I told Liz, yes.
Okay.
Like I said, you can have two reports, one that's year to date, one that's month to month, if that's the request of the commission.
And that remind you that we didn't used to have the last year's stats at all. We were just looking at one point in time with absolutely no idea what reference to last month, last year, or whatever. So we're moving along.
We are. Would the commission need to vote on that?
That's a Jerry question.
Or
they're just thinking,
if there is a referral to staff to redo the director's report, she would need a motion.
Okay, let's just do that right now then.
Make a motion.
I mean, does anybody want to talk about that? Do you see any negative aspects? Okay,
so
you
don't want to work for Nick.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got a motion. I need a second.
I'll second.
Okay, so all in favor of doing just that?
Okay,
so to clarify for the record, this is a motion for staff to create a report.
A second report. It'll give us...
That includes month to month.
Month over month. And year to date. Okay. We have the year to date already.
Okay. It's on the record. We just need something definitive as to what you want.
Okay. That's what we'd like.
A second report is month to month.
Right. The second report is month to month. And I was looking at that today at my house, and I thought, you know what, I know that we had one bad month there, and it's just going to just stay with us all year long. I don't know where it was, though, but I can see the downside of going with year-to-date totals, because if you have one bad month, you're just stuck with it all year long. So, anyway, great idea. Okay.
The opposite is true, Commissioner. If you have a really good month, it keeps going.
True enough. Okay, Terry, did you have a question?
Me? No.
Okay, any other questions? Okay. Danny?
I have one quick random question. I don't know if you know the answer off the top of your head, or maybe somebody in the room does. Just out of curiosity, in regards to microchip, the cost for a bulk shipment of microchips? Like, about how much is it per microchip?
I think we'd pay a little around $3 for a microchip.
Same question for collar and tags.
Collar and tags. We don't purchase collars and tags.
But if you were to order them in bulk, is it cheaper than a microchip?
Typically. Cheaper than a microchip?
Yes.
I don't have any idea.
So the tags are significantly cheaper than a microchip? And so...
Remember that the cost of the microchip is one thing. The cost to administer the microchip is another.
That was my next
question. So the cost to administer is about $9.90 per microchip, or something, somewhere around there.
I did have a follow-up, since everybody's finished. I asked you last month, I said, what other promotions are you doing? And you said none, but I happened to see on Facebook a few weeks ago, Dave Couch brought you up during the meeting and had the pet of the week. And I thought that was a great idea. And you tell us, if they don't know about it, give them a little rundown on what that is and how successful that's been.
Yeah, the Board of Supervisors, actually for like 3 years now, they wanted to highlight a pet of the week from the shelter, so we've been doing it for about 5 weeks now.
And you've placed all those pets, like the next.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll be completely honest with you. We're not going to pick a dog out that's going to bite somebody.
That's
you
right.
Know, we're going to pick a highly adoptable, very adorable dog that's probably almost guaranteed a home anyway. So yes, it's been very successful. But I think more than anything, in my opinion, it's nice to see the Board of Supervisors.
That's exactly
at least,
right.
You know.
Since they adopted,
handle a dog.
Well, no, they adopted the no-kill idea 3 years ago. And to see them make that part of their meeting, I think it's great. Okay.
How do you highlight the dog?
Sorry?
How do you highlight the dog?
During the meeting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You during the supervisor meeting?
Yeah,
the
brings,
dog is
he
there.
Brings
that's,
him up.
That's
yes,
what
you're talking about. See, everybody was nodding, so I figured you all knew.
Yeah, the Tuesday board meetings, every Tuesday at 9 a.m., almost every Tuesday at 9 a.m., there's a Board of Supervisors meeting, and every Tuesday morning that there's a board meeting, I bring a dog, and it's part of the agenda now, where right after, I think, the Pledge of Allegiance, and right before the consent agenda, I go up, I hand the chairperson the dog. Hopefully
he complains about the hair.
He does. He did. So yeah, he holds the dog, and then I give a little bio, and it's a pet of the week.
And then the next week you bring another dog up, and then you say, oh, by the way, last week's dog got placed the next day, or something like that. I remember somebody.
Yeah, I give an update on the dog.
Give an update on the dog, yeah. Usually it gets placed right away.
Yeah, because he really does pull out the adorable one.
He does. They're all cute.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the one I took Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. I almost went downstairs.
You did, really?
I really did. He was a cute.
That would have been great.
No, no, no. The one I brought Tuesday, one of the commissioners almost got bit. One of the supervisors almost got bit.
Really? Oh, my God. The little teddy bear looking
guy? And some of the ladies in here will know. And then that's the little one sometimes you get on.
Yeah, they're the obnoxious.
I've never been bit by little dogs, yeah.
Okay, so we're finished with the questions on that. I'm going to keep this moving. We need to receive and file the director's monthly report, so I need a motion to
come out and
receive and file. I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No? Thank you. Ordinance change subcommittee. Mr. Coleman.
Yeah, quick update on that. We met today. We hadn't met for 60 days. So at the last subcommittee meeting we had some findings. We had decided that we would, even though we had some other stuff that needed to be agreed upon, we took what we did agree upon, and Jerry and I met for about 45 minutes and realized that it's going to take a lot longer than 45 minutes. So Jerry has, I'm not throwing you under the bus. At this point, what we agreed upon and the language that will eventually come out of it is in Jerry's hands. So that's being looked at. And then alternately, we met today. I proposed to the subcommittee. They had all, in one way, shape, or form, had some suggestions on some things that we necessarily agreed to yet. So I brought two recommendations to the committee. And we agreed that they would take that home, chew on it, digest it, come back next month and see if it makes sense or tweak it here and there. And the two things that I had brought forward were some revisions to the commercial animal facility permit and then pulling out breeding from the CAF procedures.
and making a breeding permit separately. So that's those are the things that were proposed today, and that's what we'll come back next month and hash out. That's an update on the ordinance committee.
Okay, so I have a question for Jerry. Since there really isn't a report, I mean, do we still need to receive and file these comments?
No, unless you have something physical, you don't need to receive.
Okay, we'll skip that part. Okay, thank you, Mr. Collins. Mr. Blake, spay and neuter funds update.
Hello, I'm Blake Smith, and I'm here to talk about spay and neuter. And this is a final report for the 18-19 fiscal year. We made it, and we spent about $8,000 more than the budgeted, which was absorbed out of the rest of the budget. We weren't over the budget at all for the department, so we were good. And looking forward to another great year. We've got $41,000 we can use from the state food and agriculture department, and that'll all go to our Save the Pities program, and we'll have the $250,000 for the rest of what we're doing for this year. And I'll have a report on where we are thus far at the next meeting. But I asked Vicki from Critters Without Litters to send me a report of how many animals they have spayed or neutered since between July 1 of 2016 and June 30th of 2019. And I added what they did to what I did to what not what I did. I didn't do any of this. To what we did, and we between the two entities, we were able to spay and neuter almost 52,000 animals over a 3-year period. So then, just see what numbers pulled out of the sky look like. Some of the entities like HSUS and PETA have, you know, if you spay a female, how many births do you save? And it was really crazy, actually. From one female, from the 29,000 females that have been spayed or neutered over the last 3 years, according to their statistics, more than 1 billion births have been prevented.
Oh, wow. Baloney.
Baloney.
So that was what I thought when I read it too. I looked at that and I thought,
think there
wouldn't be a poor breed.
Yeah, I thought that's way out of there. So I cut it down to like less than 10% of that number, and it was still 290 million. So, I mean, that's however you want to pull the numbers, we prevented a whole lot of births.
Yes.
Whatever numbers you believe or don't believe or whatever, there's been a lot of prevention. So.
Questions to the commissioners?
Yeah. I don't have a question, but thank you for all the work that you're doing. We really appreciate it and recognize it.
Thanks very much. Thank you. You're not done yet. We're going to open this up in the first row. Sorry. I'll look. Click on the draw.
That's my name.
So what about mobile spay and neuter? That would be a Nick question, too.
I like that question.
But what about mobile spay and neuter? Because I did one in Wasco. We did 65 dogs in 2 days.
Okay, so we did quite a bit of mobile spay neuter. So we had a food and ag grant last year. We did, we got for $15,000. We've got another one this coming year for $7,000. We are essentially using, there's a group up in Lake Isabella that's bringing in, and they're using our vouchers to pay Valley Vet for the services up there. So there's a lot of mobile spay neuter going on. There was a massive increase in the number of vouchers that were utilized in the Lake Isabella or in the Kern River Valley area this fiscal year over prior fiscal years. It's probably like more than doubled, and it's because of that rescue slash animal organization. They're doing great work up there. We've done mobile spay neuter in Lamont, and we've done it in, we also did some up in Lake Isabella. We've also done, we've got money this year that's going to set aside for Taft. So there's a lot of mobile spay neuter going on.
Do you guys go, for instance, I use the SNP bus, and she's a mobile, you know, that's all they do. They also have vet services as well, so if there's something else going on, not just spay and neuter, they can offer that as well. But that's who we hired, and she was $3,000 for one day. So is that what you guys do, or do you have your own, how do you do the...
So we use
Simi
Valley. It's Simi Valley. I think it's called Valley Vet. I think they've changed their name a couple of times, but that's who we use. They also go up to Fraser Park on a regular basis, and a significant number of the surgeries they do for up in Fraser Park area, in the mountain communities. Mountain communities SPCA.
Shelter on the Hill.
So the Shelter on the Hill up there sponsors all of these.
Yeah.
And we issue vouchers out of the Family Resource Center, and so they have a very consistent pattern of utilizing those at their mobile. So we got tons of mobile spay neuter going on in the county. And that's the only way we're going to reach the outer reaches of the county. We have a good vet in Taft that's taking our vouchers, and we've got a good vet in Wasco that's willing to take our vouchers. There's not a lot of use out there.
For that area too, I did speak with Dr. Edick, and I got him set up to do the large breed dogs, because what happened in my clinic is that we could do a lot of them, but it's also depends male, female, whatever, but also the size of the dog. So they have such a small trailer to put a 65-pound dog on there is kind of hard to do. So I spoke with him, and he's putting some stuff together, and we're going to utilize him in that area. Those areas they need it so bad, and that's the only way we're going to do it, like you said.
Right, and we're doing this. There's a group up in the Kern River Valley does the same thing. There's a vet up there that does the large dogs, and then Valley Vet comes out and does the cats and the small and medium sized dogs. So.
Okay, great question, by the way. Anybody else on the first row? No? Second row, Liz? Stand up, please, so we can hear you. Stand up on the chair.
Yeah. Blake, on the voucher thing down towards the bottom, it says voucher redemption rate 82%, which is great. Bottom, save the pigs redemption rate 70%. What does vouchers outline and vouchers targeted area mean?
Okay, so the targeted area is 5, 6, the zip code 5, 6, 7, 8. And Lamont.
But is this the percent? Is this the redemption rate?
No, that's not the redemption rate.
Okay,
that's the number of that's the percentage of the total vouchers that we're utilizing in these areas.
Okay, so they are included in the 82%?
No, that's irrelevant. Okay, the two percentages are irrelevant. Okay, so of the total vouchers that have been redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
48% of them were from the outlying areas, and 48% of them were from the targeted area.
Okay, gotcha. But they are related to the 82%.
I wouldn't say that, because it's after you. It's the ones that are redeemed. So 82% of the vouchers that are issued are redeemed.
Right.
And of those 48% of the vouchers that were redeemed, 48% of those are there. So
right. So 48% of 82% and 48% of 82% tell us how many were redeemed in those areas.
Is it
48% of the vouchers issued?
No.
It's 48% of the vouchers redeemed?
Yes.
Okay. 82% in a particular area?
Yes. So the outlying area is anything that's not a metro zip code. And so that's 1, 2, 1, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, probably, I think, 12 or 14. I don't remember which. It's kind of fuzzy when you get into the teens. But that's Metro, and then anything that's not those is outline.
Mine.
And so then the target area is 5, 6, 7, 8, and Lamont.
Thank you. Any other questions from the second row? No? Any questions from Amber?
No, I'm good. I got it.
Okay. Thanks, Blake. So, we do have a report. I'll make a motion to receive. Okay, all in favor? Aye. Opposed? No? Thank you. Thanks very much. So, at this time,
I just didn't understand.
I've got to reach this. Public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on the agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask for questions for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record. We have 2 minutes, and our first is my good friend Cassandra from Petco is number one.
Oh, thank you. I'm coming in so late.
Actually, this is her first day of vacation, and she's getting ready to leave town, so she came in at the last second, so I thank you for coming in.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Yes.
So I wanted to kind of give a report on an adoption event we had last week. A few weeks. We've had 3 different dog adoption events. So the first adoption event we had 5 dogs come in and 4 were adopted out, which was very successful. It was just on a Saturday. The next event came and we had like 6 dogs and there was 2 volunteers there and we didn't get anything adopted out that day. So we thought, okay, that didn't work. This last event, which happened just Saturday, they brought in 6 dogs.
Large dogs,
4 volunteers. These volunteers took the dogs out and walked them around through the store, interacting with the guests and the customers, right?
That's what we did.
All 6 dogs got adopted. So what it showed was that them not being in the cage, because when they were in there, they were really loud, barking. It was just real annoying in the store, because we have them inside the store. And have a whole area for them. But with 4 volunteering out there, all 6 large dogs, and mind you, these dogs, a lot of them had just had surgeries, had cones, you know, and they'd taken the cones off to, you know, because they weren't bothering where the surgery was. But these people adopted them anyway because they could see the interaction and walking through the store, so it was real successful. We'll have another event coming up next week, and they're going to bring in more dogs.
This is coming Saturday?
Not this Saturday.
A week from Saturday. Mm-hmm.
So it was very successful. So thank you to you guys bringing so many volunteers. You know, at first I was very nervous with 6 large dogs, the noise, everything else.
Yeah.
With volunteers there, it worked. It really, we found some great homes for people.
Were there volunteers at the previous events where they walked them around like this last weekend?
They tried, but when you've only got, you know, a couple volunteers, a lot of those dogs then are in the cages and they're barking, you know, because it can be very stressful. But with having the 6 dogs and 4 able to take them out, it just relieved all that stress and really had the public interact with them and really helped to get the adoption done.
Okay, so the walking around time, I think about volunteering to do that, by the way. So the walking around time, what kind of time frame are you talking about? Like 2 hours, 1 hour?
Well, they ran out of dogs. So they literally got there like at 10:30, and I think they were gone before 2 o'clock.
Okay, so 3.5 hours, you placed 6 large dogs.
Under that. That was just like 2.5 hours or something. All 6 large dogs were adopted.
That's
out.
Really amazing because we have a problem with large dogs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that just showed that worked.
Yes.
It was very successful compared to a time when we didn't get any of them because the dogs were stressed out, barking. There was 2 volunteers. They were, you know, really trying to do everything they could to just take care of the dogs. With having 4 there, with 6, it got them out, and it decreased the time.
Wow.
So very successful on that. So
excellent.
Kudos and looking forward to the next event of the adoption, okay, getting those dogs out. So yeah, excited.
Yeah, I think that's a great report.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to add to Pet Cuddle and Kern County that you want to bring up?
No, I mean, our biggest thing is now we can't house so many cats is because my company has cut our labor so extreme.
Oh, yeah. She told me on the phone today. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so I know that county used to get someone out there to volunteer and help clean, and we've taken that over. And we used to have more hours that I could take six cats and clean that and not
every day.
Every day and not an issue. Now we've had to decrease it down to three cats because it is time consuming for us to get in them because my company has decided to whack my labor, just like everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. You guys feel the pain, but that's really it. You know, but I like the dog.
They need to know that. I'm glad you thought about that. You told me that this afternoon. I forgot about it.
So yeah, the adoption on the cat has gone down a little bit. Plus, my district leader decided to move the cat to another area of my store, which isn't as visible. You know,
I think that's a mistake.
Here, take the keys. You go right ahead. You run it. You know, it's like that's not working. But the good news is, I like the fact with having the large dogs there, with having so many volunteers, it worked. So really, keeping that direction going that way with bringing in the large dogs, we can get them out as long as we've got the volunteers there. And then the other thing we did is that Kern County came in and they had trying to find foster parents. So they had a whole table set up. Wow. That was another event that they did.
Good.
They came in, set up a table. And the dog adoption event, they had the information for the foster, and what we did is we gave them those little genies that they... for the cat scoop as a giveaway. If anybody would sign up, then they would do a drawing and they would be able to get that genie. No one at that point volunteered to do that, but that's okay. We still have the genies for the next event. Mm-hmm. So if people come in and sign up as those fosters, we can say, oh, okay, great, now you're a foster, you can...
So you've signed up some fosters, I'm taking.
We have. I've passed on the information.
How many do you think
Well, I know I spoke with Nick. There was two people wanting to sign up, and then there was another lady that actually was filling out the form to become a foster as well, because she likes doing the little 3 week.
Well, that's the beauty of having a satellite operation. That's what I pushed for since 2012, is have some other place other than at county to have these kind of facilities, especially you're there, you know, way longer hours and on weekends. So we're grateful.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and
really
we can have
too.
The conversation with our guests that come in and to have that are buying the little baby bottles and the kitten milk and have the conversation. Oh, what are you? Oh, you're taking care of kittens. Oh, well, what's your plans to do after the kittens? Oh, okay, you're going to try to find a home for those kittens. Have you ever considered fostering? We get to continue that conversation, and then I've had lots of conversations saying, you know, because at the shelter they can only have the nursery for 3 weeks or older, and prior to that they need to be bottle fed, so would you consider doing that? So it is good to have that satellite because
it is.
We are able to have those conversations because we're having that interaction with people that are buying the products that are actually taking the time to save these cats.
Thank you. Yeah, please ask her any questions.
Do you guys promote or offer education about spaying and neutering those kitty cats too?
Well, they're coming in because they're coming in directly from the shelter. But when people ask me when they are taking those kittens, litter stack critters, cringe without that. Or switch that around.
Yeah.
So, no, I let them know because it's like $30 or $40 to go have, because I've fixed a few myself, so it's very inexpensive. So we let them know where they can go to get that done. Yeah, absolutely.
What are the questions?
Where are you finding your volunteers?
You talked about your volunteers for those events.
Yeah.
All those come from the county.
Just from the county.
From the county. The county sends them in with the dogs when they bring in the dogs. So they have, you know, so it was awesome to see four people show up and it worked. So yeah, the county sends in whoever is volunteering offering goes in there. But now I think I have another volunteer on that one right there walking around the dog.
Seems like an easy enough job, really.
Yeah,
I can do that.
Sure. We even have little doggy treats.
Is that advertised, or is it just when they can make it?
No, they have the calendar and the schedule. Yeah.
Okay. Certain weekends. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So they have those.
Is that
events.
A Saturday and Sunday scenario, or is that just Saturday?
No, that was only on happening on Saturday. We have the events for Saturday, Sunday. The problem is the county I know doesn't have any volunteers on Sunday, so that's why only on Saturday that's done.
Liz, did you have a question?
No, sir.
I can't see you back there. Right. Would you pass on to Jeff there our congratulations on having the volunteers there on Saturday to really make this a winning deal?
I'll accept the congratulations on his behalf.
That was good. It was awesome. But you can see the difference by having volunteers go off the ground and stay here.
It makes all the difference in the world, right?
It worked.
Because one event you didn't place any, and then lo and behold, you placed six.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Then there you go.
How many?
Yes,
thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
That was pretty good. This is still public. Anybody want to?
Oh, for public?
This is for public.
Yeah.
You got 2 minutes.
Okay.
We held
I'll keep it quick.
You didn't turn the clock on.
Karen Howard.
Okay, so I just kind of to give you guys a situation we had at 1901 Quincy. I'm sure Nick hates me because we kind of pestered him on this too. We had a situation where me and a couple other people had discovered that's a really bad area. Anyway, it's very, very, very bad area. So we came upon a house that had a husky tied up in the front yard. She was chained up, and she had a litter of puppies. And we had to, you know, do a lot of educating and that kind of stuff. They were actually cited multiple times by animal control and that kind of stuff. But they were infested with fleas and ticks. The whole neighborhood actually is infested. Like literally, if you're standing in the streets, they're crawling on your legs if you stand still too long. So I actually assigned one of my volunteers to the area. She went over and she got all the dogs vaccinated. I provided the vaccinations for her. So it was mama dog and all the puppies plus the neighbors. And we had a situation over there where there was a whole bunch of dogs just breeding and breeding and breeding. But we got the two females at least out of there and got them fixed. So now there's no more puppies there. It cost my volunteer $702 to get that situation figured out. So
and where does your money come from?
Well, that was her personal money.
Her personal money?
Yeah. Wow. So she spent $702 to get mama dog and six puppies vaccinated, flea and tick. You know, treated, and they had ticks all over the inside of their ears, on their, everywhere, mama dog. So they're actually all in foster tonight. They're all in foster. Mama dog will be in foster next week, and then they all go off to rescue. So I just kind of wanted to give you guys a little bit of an insight. That's just one look. I've got hoarding situations and all kinds of stuff out there. But I just want you guys to know that it's something that we did do. And, you know, of course, you guys do that. But it did cost $700 to one of my volunteers at her personal
out of her own pocket, though.
Out of her own pocket.
Where is she?
It's at 1901 Quincy. So it's off of Mount Vernon and... kind of by Kern Medical Center, and that area is really bad because I think that we kind of link that to like where a lot of the distemper dogs were coming from. Because I know that at one time there was a group of distemper dogs that had gone into the shelter, and they were all from that same area. So we've been kind of trying to focus on that area as well, and it just has been really bad. But one thing I did want to point out with the enforcement of you guys, they had another dog that they owned also. That is fixed and vaccinated and licensed because of enforcement they did before. So hopefully we keep going on the enforcement, and then hopefully that breeding permits can come in. We can continue linking the areas and making it all better.
Well, thank you very much for what you do.
I have a question. So with what is that disease that they get with ticks?
What's that?
Lyme disease. Lyme disease. Isn't there a way that something, being that you're saying it's infested, somehow for the city or something to be responsible to have to treat that area or to get rid of that because of that possibility?
Well, I'll tell you, I have focused a lot on the Wasco area right now because it's a very similar, you know, situation when they come. I do a vaccination clinic every 3 weeks up there, and these dogs are literally dripping, and I'm not kidding. When I say dripping, that is not an exaggeration. Ticks are falling off of them. We even had a dog come in that had lice, which got on my volunteers, and Sheila, which was Dan's Danny wasn't there at the time.
It was Casey. Casey got it.
And so it's just, it's one of those things that is a community, it's a health issue, okay? It really is. We are right now, with one of the things that Cecile did was she went and bought bags of diatomaceous earth and sprayed it all over the area because it's hard. I mean, we're going to pour chemicals on one area and then the yard next door is going to be... So to get to that, it is. I'd love for it to be something where the city and the county go out and do like regular spraying like that. I think that it would be amazing.
They in my area, city came out because the mosquitoes in my area
were thinking,
like really bad.
There's got to be some kind of something that could be forced to get them to do that, or somehow we could also, I don't know, with publicity with a pest control company that wants to get the word out, the states, hey, this is what good we've done for the community, kind of.
Right. I tried that. I actually posted on Facebook, and there were quite a few of them that were tagged, but nobody contacted me. I'm always going and busy and that kind of stuff, but I did think about that. I was like, you know what? Offer at low cost. People will, they will pay for it, but, you know, it can't be $300. These are people who don't have really, you know, they really don't have any money. So, but she had to get the Bravecto and NexGard. Those are the tablets, which, you know, are still kind of high risk on some of it, and everybody really agrees with that anymore, but... we were, you know, that's what she did. But those pills, the Bravecto is what, $65 a pill, and then NexGard is only $15. But you know, anyway, so that's what a lot of the cost was treating that those fleas and ticks. They were covered. I mean, they were only what, 3 months old, 2 months old? I think 2 or 3 months old, and they were covered. And then, you know, again,
it's not going to fix the problem if the ground's not fixed. So that's the biggest thing.
We can pour chemicals on our dogs, and it's not going to help. 2 weeks later, they'll be covered.
Yeah, because that's why I'm just wondering. If where the city or the county or someone is held responsible for having to take that care of that because of the Lyme disease.
So do we know
the risk
mosquito
of Lyme disease? There's been 21 confirmed cases of
mosquito abatement.
The mosquito abatement districts are actually supported by property tax dollars, and so they're probably limited specifically to mosquitoes.
Yeah.
So would the health department get involved in something like that?
It might if you actually had a Lyme disease outbreak, but you can call the health department and find out if they're interested in.
But I also think it goes even beyond the Lyme disease. The fact that it's a health issue for dogs will die if they're touched with a tick. They're going to suck and dry and they're going to die if somebody doesn't intervene.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, those 16 cases...
It's 21 cases in 16 years.
But where did those cases come from?
That's from the CDC.
Yeah, which area?
It isn't a question. I have a comment. There's something called mosquito abatement and vector control. They do more than mosquitoes because they came out to my house when I was having a rat infestation. So they may.
They don't do ticks.
It's called vector.
You live in the county, Blake? Huh? You live in the county?
Yes.
You do?
No, I live in the city.
Okay. Well, maybe we can try and figure that out.
That's why all this discussion is so good, because we're coming up with different ideas and suggestions. We're kind of brainstorming here. We don't know the answer. We're going to figure it out eventually, right?
If we can get to the community and really help these people out, I mean, that's my life dream, is to just kind of, you know, get in there. And we are, we're boots on the ground, we're out there all the time. But this case right here I thought was pretty significant because... You know, I signed this one. Thankfully, she has money.
Well, yeah.
That was still a lot of money, though. That shouldn't be. And that's just one. That's one.
That's
like I said, the entire neighborhood.
It's a tough area. I mean, I canvassed that area, too. And it's like,
yes.
A lot of undocumented folks there.
And they get scared. Well, we just want to help.
Yeah, when people are knocking on their doors. Yeah.
The other thing is, I just want to mention, there are products that we can put on, or give to these dogs or put on these dogs.
There you go.
That will prevent
that's right.
Reinfesting.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it's so much to where I work that, I mean, I think we have one that's actually not super expensive. It's called Simple Guard.
Uh-huh.
It's through VCA. And you put that on them, and they give you like the monthly dosages, and literally as soon as you put it on, the ticks are falling off of them.
Yeah.
So they don't get reinfested with them either. That lasts for an entire month. So as long as you keep them, you know, if they keep on a monthly, it'll eventually will reduce the, you know, problem altogether. You know, if they have nowhere to be,
they don't have a host.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But I just, like I said, it's just so hard because it's still an area situation. We can pour chemicals on this dog, but if the neighbor next door isn't controlling theirs,
or the ground,
you know,
that's the whole thing. Is the ground? I think all over through the neighborhood, just spraying it.
Yeah. And the diatomaceous earth is good. You can get a big bag of it for like $20 or whatever. Yeah. It's just messy. I'd be out there and sprinkle around there. I used it in my house. I got rid. It took me 2 seasons, but you know, I still was able to. I fostered a dog and had two ticks on it.
You can kill bed bugs with
PE
also.
Yeah,
that's
there's
very
a variety.
Does Lowe's and Home Depot sell that stuff?
Mine's
they
at also.
They do.
See, that's one.
Yeah. I'm actually looking, I'm looking into it through my rescue to get a, grant for it, and we can have it by the pallets for the people in Moscow.
Also kills tapeworms.
Thank you. Okay, we're still on the first row here. Anybody else? Susan?
No.
Okay, Susan, you're
right. Susan Richardson, nice to be there. Kind of an answer to your question, Nick, about some of the numbers being down. I'll give you a couple examples why. Tonight after the meeting, I'm picking up a mom, dad, and 4 puppies. And tomorrow morning, I'm picking up 7 puppies, and they're all owner surrender, so they won't be coming to your shelter.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks.
Anyhow, I kind of want to go back again, discuss a little bit about the owner definition law that the board of supervisors and enacted for some money. My personal feeling, I think, is illegal. And there was some discussion about, well, it's dogs are kind of considered maybe personal property under property laws and stuff like that. So I did a little research.
Maybe.
PC 491. Clearly states that animals are personal property. So if you go over to the property laws and say, what do I do when I find property? This is what it'll tell you. You take it to the police. The police have to hold it for 90 days. Then they have to advertise 7 days. Then they can put it up for auction. This is one of the reasons why people are very confused. So one of the questions would be, okay, if I'm following this, do I got to hold a dog for 90 days as a good Samaritan?
No, because that law is not applicable to dogs. Huh. It's general
but it's found
law.
Property. But
it's
you have said before.
It's the general law for found personal property. There is a specific law for found animals and domestic livestock.
Okay,
it's a
that?
Different law,
what
and that's in the Food and Ag Code.
Is it Food and Ag?
Food and Ag, Health and Safety.
Yeah.
I don't know it right off the top.
Because I look for it in Food and Ag and Health and Safety.
Well, it's
and I couldn't
there.
Find it.
It's there.
Okay, so this is then still part of the confusion. If you're out as a layman and you don't understand, well, it is for the community.
If you find an animal, call your local shelter.
Oh, well, I understand that, but you know what would happen if I took every dog that I found into the county shelter? Your euthanasia rate would go up. Seriously,
we don't want that.
Again, what I'm trying to clarify for people in the community is, other than taking to the shelter, which is, you know, also clear in some of the laws, and you have so many different laws that they fall under, to help people understand what is your responsibility. Yes, you have to make reasonable efforts. What's reasonable efforts? Do I advertise a week, 2 weeks, a month? What is my responsibility when I find a dog? You made a comment last meeting, which kind of bothered me a little bit, saying that there is no law that says if I find a dog, I can't give it to somebody else.
That's correct. You have no responsibility. You have no duty when you find an animal.
Yeah, but most people that find it, they'll post it on the website for the shelter or wherever, and someone that's truly trying to find their dog will find their dog. They will look in those areas and find their dog.
Unless someone picks up the dog and does something else.
Well, then they steal it. Yeah.
But then again, it's still part of my concern is there's a lot of confusion out there with some people saying the good Samaritan can't hold the dog 15 days. Some people say you have 30 days you have to hold it before you can do anything with it.
Okay.
The city has an ordinance, not city, excuse me, county has an ordinance, which to me, again, I don't know that it's necessarily a legal ordinance, but it says after 15 days, if you provide the care for an animal, it's yours. If you then turn it in the shelter, I'm charging you money to turn it in, because we now consider you the owner.
Okay, the Food and Ag Code, I found it, and it says 6 days, but then there's a whole list of exceptions. But I can give you the code.
Go ahead.
It's Food and Ag Division 14, Regulation and Licensing of Dogs, 3-0-5-0-1-3-1-6-8-3.
Why don't you bring it next time when this comes?
So it says, you're telling me that says 6 days you have to hold it off?
I just glanced at it, and the very first part says the required holding period for a stray dog impounded pursuant to...
Impounded.
Okay.
We already know it's
different. You're talking about private person.
Sorry. Right. I thought I found it.
There's a general area. I still think there needs to be some work done on that clarification and whether their thing is actually legal or not, their ordinance is legal. I think that's up to you guys. I'm going to give that task to you guys.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next table, Liz.
Thank you, no, sir.
Zero? Okay, Terry?
No.
Judy? Backroom has nothing. Danny? I don't know. Maybe. Come on up. What was your name again?
Oh. Daniel Little, 93308.
Daniel, I missed it.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say anything, but then Nick brought up something about the microchip, that the free microchips didn't result in kind of redemption that had been hoped. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's accurate.
So, I don't know, just one of the things I've been kicking around, I've talked to a couple different people about it, and just my thoughts or whatever. I think I've mentioned to Michelle, I mentioned briefly to Sally or whatever, but microchips are fantastic and they're great, don't get me wrong, or whatever, and they're long-term and permanent and all that stuff, but when it comes to the number of strays we have on the streets, seems like the quickest and easiest solution for Joe, member of the public, that finds a stray, not somebody from the rescue community or animal control, but just some caring person that sees a dog out and wants to help. The easiest and quickest and cheapest way of identifying that pet and getting them back to their owner is a collar and tag.
Right.
So I just wanted to throw that out there, and it's not a county thing or a rescue thing. Maybe it's a collaboration or something. But I just feel like if we could just get more tags on pets, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, clearly you look at the report. There's the stray issue is a big one, and keeping dogs out of the shelter is what we're all trying to do, and get them back with their owners. And just that silly old dog tag is the quickest and cheapest and easiest thing for people to do. So I just think if people can get together and come up with a way of funding it, on getting a lot of tags, getting them, printed up and distributed in a quick and efficient manner, make it cost effective. You know, I just feel like if there was a real push or incentive to do that, collaboratively, that,
Danny, what kind of tags are you talking about? Tags to me means licenses.
Yeah, I mean, just FIDO, 555.
You're talking about a name and a phone number.
I'm just talking about some, I don't even care if it's just their phone number, just some way that when I find a dog.
But people come to the clinic and ask me, how much is my tag? They mean the license.
Okay. Yeah, Danny's talking about an identification.
Yeah, I'm not talking about
name tag. Okay, that's what I'm trying. Because I hear tag, I think license.
No,
so
ID.
All right.
I mean, this is just speculation on my part.
So,
but
to me, the only issue with that would be the safety issue with the dogs, and that's the difference between the microchipping and the collars. Because working at a vet, we see a lot of them come in that have gotten collars caught on things,
right,
and things like that. I personally had one years ago who actually caught his collar on the smallest little branch and choked himself to death.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
Leaving collars on them all the time is not a good idea. So that's the only downfall with that side. And the microchip, you don't have that issue.
But you have the reader to read it.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. And when you think of the areas that have the biggest problems with strays, you know,
right.
I mean, there are certain, I don't know, limitations maybe a lot of people have. So when, you know, Joe Blow in Oildale, you know, say there's a dog in his yard, a stray dog, hasn't seen before. And if the dog has a microchip, you know, he doesn't have a microchip reader. He doesn't know who to ask for a microchip reader.
Yeah.
He's not going to take the dog and stick it in his truck and take it to the vet and have it scanned or whatever.
Right.
Probably what he's going to do is, if he has a good heart, he's going to keep it safe for the night and just take it to shelter and be done with it. But if that dog happened to have a tag, he'd probably go, okay, here we go, 555.
Just
hey, here's your dog.
Now, let's say
the likelihood of someone picking up a dog in general.
I didn't mean to start a whole discussion in this meeting. I just wanted the discussion to maybe continue after.
It should be about.
Danny, the other thing is, when people get a microchip, at least at clinics, they get a little yellow tag, which can go on the collar.
But it doesn't say who the owner is.
Yeah.
The tag has the number.
You can call the phone number on the tag.
I did that with a dog years ago that showed up on the street north of me. I called the company. They gave me the lady's name and phone number. I called her. I said, I have your dog. She said, I'm home. I drove up to university, and boom.
Yeah.
The same thing is true with a license. If it says Kern County and there's a license number, you can call. What I'm saying is, the problem is collar, which is what was brought up. These doggies who have been out for a while lose
the collar.
Yeah, and the tags do fall out. But what about one that slips on there? Or
here's all I'm going to say. Nothing is perfect.
Good point, Danny.
Yes.
Now, if I were to distribute, let's say, 100 collars in the community and everyone put those collars on, I'm willing to bet the percentage of dogs that are injured by their collar or they remove them, their collars themselves as animals is very, very small. So nothing's perfect. But if I have a chance of getting 100 collars and tags on dogs, and maybe five of them lose their collars or something like that, I think that's a pretty good ratio.
Yeah, and I think you bring out a good point, because the same with microchips. I mean, yeah, microchipping is great, but as I think Nick has pointed out before, if you don't register, it doesn't necessarily help a whole lot. Unless
it's the same thing with tags. If you have a tag and you don't update your tag, you're going
to
have the same issue.
Say, hey, where was it inserted, and back trace it. But people don't know that.
With the microchips, the company always has who they gave the mic, sold them
to. That's what I just said. But that's what I said, that your normal layperson doesn't know to ask the chip company, where was it inserted? So they can't
accurate it. Microchip company will tell you that was sold to Scottsdale.
No, only if you ask.
You have to ask, and then a lot of times they don't they won't give the information out. They and then there have been times when they don't have that information. It just was registered to like the city shelter or something like that.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. But it says it was registered to the city shelter. So then you call the city shelter.
If you want,
Thank you for your time.
Okay.
Would you ever be interested in doing a sale on some special on tags?
What?
Well, I know that's what we have. We do have tags, and I could probably work with our vendor to see about seeing if we can get a discount on that. I was also going to say, when people do call our place and they say they found an animal, they do bring it into the store, and we scan it ourselves to see it, because we have scanners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we scan them. So people do call all the time and bring in animals all the time that we scan. But yeah, I can check in to see what we can do as far as cost, and check with my company, because that might be something. But let's get maybe some kind of proposal, something together of what direction we're wanting to do, what that looks like. The area we're wanting to go to, and why we're wanting to do this, I can present it to the company and see if they're willing to sponsor that.
Okay.
I think Danny's point is very valid. I don't know how many dogs that I've found. Mm-hmm. I stop on everyone. And if the tag's on it, it's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy just to go and bring it on.
I think most folks would be more likely to pick up a dog. Like, if they're not, they're in a rush or they're going somewhere, they'll still pick up a dog if it has a tag and a,
that's true,
and a collar on, an ID tag and a collar on, rather than a dog that doesn't have anything on it. I've always kind of wondered why we don't have one of the machines in all of our shelters. For people to say adopt a dog, why aren't they making one of those things right there?
You know, and you guys, but the company that we have ours from would probably give you guys, they supply the machine,
right,
and then the people have to
buy
the tags, but they would be able to do it on the same time when they come into the shelter to adopt. They could do that. So I can give you guys that information.
Okay.
You can get a hold of the Fido company, see about getting a machine installed at your place. Then you can also make some extra money on that.
Nick, we want a machine.
So however that works.
Mr. Chairman, if I could
have
a suggestion.
City has one.
Liz, excuse me. Okay, go ahead.
You can set an item of new business on next month's agenda for that.
I can do what?
You can set an item
on the agenda.
Next
right.
month's
That's
agenda
for
new business. You cannot vote to act on anything brought up in public presentation.
Okay.
Yeah, on the
like
item, more information
okay.
for me.
I'd like to put an item for the next agenda on the tags. It's created a lot of discussion, a lot of good discussion, and it's rational.
Can I answer the tag thing right now, please?
Sure.
The tag machine cost about $8,000, and we just don't have the money. Don't have the money to buy it.
I was just wondering if maybe they, because of the shelter, maybe they would just put one there.
Yeah.
Let me check with Fido, the company, and see.
We've reached out. We've talked to them. No, they weren't willing to give us the machine. We reached out to the Friends Foundation to see if the Friends Foundation would purchase one for us. We haven't heard back yet. But it's still something that we're constantly kicking around. So, if you want to agendize it, please feel free. But we've looked into it front, back, sideways.
I still want to talk about it. I'll put on the agenda for next month.
Okay, how would you like it to read on the agenda? Tax?
There's still some discussion going on
here.
Okay. Will Petco come
about.
Back with the information
yeah.
for us?
So what's the motion? You want to work it?
Add an item for new business on next month's agenda.
What are we going to call it? Discussion on
discussion
ID
on
tags?
I'd say ID tags.
Yes.
Identification. Identification tag and machine. And then you and I will get a hold of me, and then I'll see what I can get with the other company.
So, you need to make a motion to add the discussion on
We need a motion to add an agenda item.
You need a motion in a second. The board has
to add it.
Okay, so I make a motion to add the discussion on ID tags. Neil, second.
And Neil, second. Okay, all in favor? Thank you. Okay, it's on.
Yeah.
And Danny got a question, right? Or do you still, or is it answered?
No,
I'm
done.
Never mind.
You've done enough, Danny. Thank you.
I'll save it for next
time. I lost control of sleep about 15 months ago. I don't like this room.
I
can't see you guys.
Yeah.
Something
on the deal about rescue
tour.
That's what I think. It's kind of like what we're doing out here.
I'll be back up and do that.
Repeat it again.
It's done.
We can't back up and do it.
No.
We'll bring it up next time. Okay. I want to thank Sunny for bringing up three good really things tonight. Really good. These are items that created a lot of discussion and a lot of good ideas. And people are working together. They're brainstorming. And that's kind of what we do here, right? So. Okay, moving right along. Commissioner announcements or reports?
Yeah. I don't have anything.
Okay, here. I have zip, so there are none. Old business, guess what?
None.
There is none. New business?
None.
Guess what? Zip. So I need a motion.
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I second.
Thank God you did. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. See you guys September 18th, okay? Good meeting, though. Good meeting.